Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Great to be here once again. Amen. It's always, a great feeling to be with the family of Life Church Ministries. Amen. I appreciate you all, especially the ministries. Recently, in the last, maybe a couple of months, Life Church Ministry has been sharing and visiting and fellowshipping with Kent, and I just want to appreciate that. It's a great thing that, you know, we're all coming together in this, and I encourage Life Church Kent, you know, to support and come and fellowship with the Puyallup Saints. You know, hopefully the east side is just nearby, 5-10 minutes away, so that would be great. Amen. Hallelujah. Last Friday night, we had a prayer meeting, and we had quite a number of from you guys that came to visit and fellowship. It was great. Amen. I'm really thankful for that. Bishop is doing a great job putting things together, and the fellowship of the congregations. I'm looking forward to that that great meeting on. Is that October the 8th?
Yes.
October the 8th. Yeah. Hey, has it been announced here yet? No. Not yet. Okay. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna say anything yet. Yeah. We'll keep that as a surprise. Amen. All right, but we'll be here. Just that. We will be here, and we'll bring, a large group. If we have that large group, amen, from Kent, we're going to have a great fellowship. I heard it's going to be all the congregations of Life Church Ministries coming together for that day, and I'm really looking forward to that. I'm excited. Amen. And, great thing for all of us to look up to. Amen. Bishop said, Brother Nick is going to call you just to say something. And suddenly I had to think, okay, what am I going to say? Just to greet the congregation, or, say a word from the Bible or a word from the Lord, came to me this thought from the book of Psalm chapter 103. Psalm 103, and that is in verse 19. Amen. The Lord hath prepared his throne. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Amen. Looking up to the God that we are serving in this congregation, in the churches, amen, we look up to him as not just, someone that we look up to as a role model, or someone that we ask, if we have any needs. But we look up to him who is the one that is in sovereign control of everything, in total control of everything. He's sovereign over all. The Bible says he sits in the thrones of the heavens in his sovereignty. In his sovereignty. That means he's the supreme control over all things. Amen. When it says over all things, it's not only in his creation as, we came into being as what we look, physically right now, but, the way we're created in our image before God, our minds, our intellect, our spirits, our soul, and all of that. I mean, it's all under the Creator's control. And so being a sovereign God, sometimes we question things that, out of our limited understanding. Why is this happening? Why am I going through these things? I am praying, and why am I feeling, alone and afraid? Why am I not being used the way God is using some people? Why do I have this limited knowledge of things when other people, you know, have a vast knowledge and educated themselves of many things in the work of God, in the kingdom of God? You know, sometimes we tend to compare things to one another, and then, you know, the worst thing is when we point our finger to God and complain, "Why, Lord? I don't get it. I don't understand," right? Now, looking at the scripture, God being the sovereign one who controls everything, he knows. He knows everything that's happening. He can see the end from the beginning. When we can only see what is now, what is the present, God knows everything. When we don't have the answer to the question, that doesn't mean that God doesn't know the answer. He knows the answer even before we ask the question. Amen. And so with our situation, your minister, the pastor, and you do your research and you don't get the answer, it doesn't mean that God, you know, is guilty about throwing things at you that you're responsible of knowing and he doesn't have a clue because you're responsible for it. You came up to something and you did something that you should be responsible of, and he put his hands off. No. So God sometimes allows things to happen in our lives, amen, for a reason, for a reason. And with that, you know, even in this timeline, we don't get the answer, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows, again, he sees the end from the beginning. He knows your pathway right now, your direction, your steps from this time forward to the end. He knows everything. Amen. And that's the thing what I'm trying to point out. Amen. The fact that we do not know, the fact that we are limited in what we know, and God is unlimited. He is infinite in his understanding, in his knowledge, because he's sovereign. He's on top of it all. The fact that we do not know what is going on right now, amen, gives us the very reason to trust him who knows. Amen. Just because we don't understand, we back out and turn our back from him because we don't get the answer from him. And we lose our trust in him. Well, that's the very reason that we need to trust in God. Because we do not know. If we know. If we know what is in the mind of God, if we know the reason why God allows things to happen, then we have the reason to, you know, to put the matter in our own hands, amen, because we know what he knows. But the fact that we do not know gives us the very reason to put all our trust in him and place everything in his hands, because he is sovereign. He is in control. He knows everything to the best of your interest. He allowed things to happen for a reason, amen, because he looked up to your best. He loves you, and his love is different than how we express our love, amen. He loves us over and beyond. That's why he sent his son and gave his life on the cross. Amen. But my point is that in whatever we go through in life, whether we walk in the dark, groping and not understanding, and we don't get any answers, amen, we need to put all our trust, our confidence in him who knows it all. Amen. Hallelujah. And he gave us the assurance that he will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He will be with us all the way from now to the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So that gives us all the reason to worship him and praise him and serve him no matter what is happening. Amen. No matter what is the circumstance in our lives, amen, he gets all. I mean, he deserves all the glory and the honor and the praise and the worship that he deserves. Let's put our hands together one more time to the Lord. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. I'm going down here, brother. Thank you for your example of apostolic ministry. Well, that's what you did. You got called on at the last minute. You waited on the presence of God. He gave you a starting point. You read it, and the Lord took you from there. Once again, thank you for your example of apostolic ministry. I feel edified. Praise God. Where am I going to start here? I have always encouraged, from the example that I received many years ago from my beloved pastor, Brother Leslie in Yakima, the value of oversight. I'll never forget when I was when I first came to Puyallup 22 years ago. We were up in the old building on the hill. I was the new guy here. And there was different ones that were beginning to call and ask to speak with me about some things. Various situations that they were going through. And I remember sitting there, and it was as though the heavens parted. And something called the wisdom of God came down. And it began to channel through me. Because the things that I was saying to these individuals, I thought, where did that come from? I couldn't recall the origin. Wasn't the book I read out of or studied or prepared for or educated for. But there was a spiritual flow. And then once in a while, I would be sitting in that same chair. And there was another couple in those same two chairs. And they would ask me a question, and it didn't appear. No clouds, no opening of the sky, the heavens, nothing. No flow. And so I would reach back into the resources of my physical understanding and try to advise them, counsel them, and leave a meeting so frustrated and like I had not done what I was asked to do. And here's what I realized. There were people who had made me an elder in their life. And then there were those who were being respectful to me, but I had not become that for them. Therefore, there was no flow from God to them. I didn't have the power to turn it on. I didn't have the power to turn it off. And that's when I really began to understand the concept of what the Lord had showed me as a young believer in Yakima. I just thought Brother Leslie was the wisest. No matter what I asked him, man, he would have these answers and everything. I would go away thinking, dear God, that was the answer. Man, I love that guy. It's only through experience and years that I realized I had come to love God as he flowed through that elder in my life. Now, I had made him my elder. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, this is a writing from the Apostle Paul to a young man, Timothy. And he is counseling him. He is advising him and trying to be a help to him. So he continues on, and at verse 14 he says, but continue in the things which thou hast learned. Go back to the other verse, one just before. He said, there's coming a time, evil men and seducers will wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. He was talking about those that would come as communicators in to his presence, his life, who would twist the word for their own gain, for their own benefit. They were evil in their heart. They may have dressed like angels, but they were evil in their motive. They were self-serving in their motive. They're not going to look like a devil. And so he's warning this young man who had looked to the Apostle Paul as an elder to him and telling him, next verse, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Key word, whom. Praise God. Praise God. I communicated to a group of 10 or 12 that were in the back room a couple of weeks ago that from today or from this time forward, you will hear me refer to Brother Wright as bishop. He's my bishop. I'm communicating that to you, and that's how you will hear me refer to him. He's my bishop. Now, you that have known me for a while know that we have been associated for more than 20 years. We've been associated in our ministries, but it was something that God initiated originally, involved us in, and then progressed it with me all the time wondering, look, I'm the little guy from nowhere. How is it that you have connected me to this ministry and to this person? And here we are 20 years later. I've traveled to different countries with him, ministered alongside him. I've stayed in his home for weeks. He was speaking in a, Brother Wright was speaking in a meeting, and he began to describe our places in the body and in the kingdom. Okay, we oftentimes relegate body to congregation or assembly, but we know the body of believers or through the earth. Every once in a while, people will come into contact with some individual from some other place, and they'll come away saying, man, I feel like this was like a divine connection. Well, and it almost looks like God seems to be networking people throughout the earth. And almost like he doesn't work through sections, districts, or state lines. I was in the bottom of the Space Needle one day, and I was looking on the wall, waiting for the other people to come down, and there was a picture of the earth as a globe, and it just dawned on me, that's how God sees it. There's no lines in the countries along the rivers or boundaries or borders, states. That's how God sees it. There was something relieving in that to me. Now, so Bishop Wright is talking about this, the concept of kingdom and the connection of individuals, because God places the members in the body as he wills, according to his purpose and plan. We don't choose them. We may feel like we want to unchoose some sometimes, but we don't choose them. We don't unchoose them. God places the members in the body as he wills. Now, when we talk about member, also members have function. Bodies are not attenders. They're not service attenders. Parts of the body, members of the body, are not attenders to services. We have degraded in some situations to that level. But a member in my body has function, hopefully. Something happened the other night. I was having dinner with Brother and Sister Hart, and he began to share something with me. Remember Martin? Martin, who has been here, came, visited, helped me paint some of these windows outside. He was downstairs in what we call the prayer room before service in Selah the other night. And he was praying, and something illuminated Martin to Brother Hart. And so he says, why don't you sit down next to me right here? He did. Now, let me tell you something about Martin. Martin spent more years in prison than he has out. And he may not say it, but he's still striving and looking to find his place in society, in the congregation, in the body of Christ. He's faithful. He's got a good job now. He's got two jobs. He's caring for his own home. He is miles ahead of where he was ever at in his life, ever. So he's sitting there next to Brother Hart, and Brother Hart says, why don't you just begin to pray? And he says, go ahead and yield yourself. Pray. Well, Martin begins to pray, and as he really begins to yield to the leading of God's Spirit, a great authority comes on him in prayer. Now, my wife and I had just been discussing a couple weeks ago, what is it with Martin? What has happened to that guy? We came into the service one night. Man, the Holy Ghost was flowing through him as he was praying, and you could tell it was going to impact the whole service. Just to say, God, is he in trouble? Is he, you know, is he desperate? Is there a situation we need to know about? I had no clue. Well, he was sharing with us, Brother Hart, the other night. He said that authority came on him as he began to pray. And then he started to let it subside. He said, I said, don't do that. Let it go. Just keep going. Yield to it. God is seating you. He's placing you. This is who you are to the body. He started to share with him the concept of an armor bearer. He said, you didn't know it, but when I came in here, I was so embattled with thoughts, and I couldn't seem to get rid of them. And as you begin to pray, they fell away, they fell away, they fell away. God is making you an armor bearer to me, placing a member in the body of Christ. This is spiritual function. This is function of membership. This isn't service attending. This is apostolic ministry.
Right.
Here's my notes. His phone, sorry. Yes, I stole it. I've been running off leaving my Bible every time I show up at a service. Sorry. So, back to the member thing. He began to describe membership in the body of Christ. Bishop Wright, again, back in this meeting. I'm sitting in the back and I'm listening. And he begins to talk about pieces of a puzzle. You remember the easy ones? The pieces were kind of like almost all the same shape. First grade, second grade. Remember, but then when you graduated to the 500 or the 1,000 piece thing, and it was like, dear God, look at all those pieces all over the table. Nothing looks like nothing. And so you start to grab the pieces along the borders. There's a straight side on it. There's possibility that's a side or a bottom or the rounded ones will be the corners, you know. And so then you take those pieces and you put them in color piles. And then eventually you go back to each color pile. And you begin to, here's what I saw when he was describing that. God alone in his purpose one day said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to join you right here. And I saw to the lower right of a puzzle connected to the piece, which was Bishop Wright. I saw Larry Schoonover and looked back over the history and how he had put us together and begin to realize I'm not here because I've made a choice. I simply acknowledge a direction that he led. And so I'm going to get into my place. Not without a battle. Not without a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. Me in the fight. Me at war. Me trying to survive the assault. Wait a minute. You're the bishop. You shouldn't have to. Sure. You want to believe that? I didn't know what I was battling. I thought my perspective was changing. I thought the things that I was seeing with the natural eye were beginning to bother me. And I began to communicate to a small circle around me. I'm not so sure about some things. I'm questioning some things. And I believed I saw myself headed down a road of pulling my place out of the puzzle. And pressures came on, and the heat came on, and the heaviness of responsibilities and making choices and decisions that were helping to steer the lives of people was so weighty. I said to my wife one day, I feel like calling Bishop Wright and asking him to come as my bishop. You heard, I shared the story with you. I texted and asked him, and he told me his schedule was a month, year and a half out. And I just told him, I said, I've been involved with apostolic ministry for a while now, and if God speaks to you, you'll change your plan. You'll be here. God spoke to him when he was in England. He changed his plan, and he was here. He came here as my bishop. And I got to tell you, the mental relief. As I watched him in a spiritual office begin to communicate things that he had no clue about naturally, had not been spoken to, and was addressing them one after the other, and sitting down with my wife and I for endless hours, sitting with the Johnstone for endless hours, sitting with the Hearts for almost endless hours, but realizing, now that's the office of a bishop. He was able to communicate things by revelation of what God showed him, not what information was shared. That took me back to remembering my earliest years with Brother Leslie. you know, he'd get up at night and start preaching on something. I'm thinking, how did he know that? I didn't tell him. Did you tell him? It's divine. So, I decided at this late juncture that I would look to Brother Wright as my bishop, and I would let him walk. I would allow him to walk in that office concerning me. You see, he couldn't force that on me. He had indicators and direction, but he's got wisdom. And we have associated for these many years. He asked me to be one of his external board of trustees 15 years ago. And so we've had this association. He's gave me a place there over Antioch, the Apostolic Church. And so I'm letting you know, and I want to speak this to you publicly. I did this already with this. We are establishing a Executive Council of Elders. 10 or 12 members are on it out of three different congregations. Okay? Now, what I'm telling to you is I shared this with them. There will be direction at times that you hear from me that I will say under advisement of Bishop Wright. I'm not going to wrestle with it. I'm not going to fight with it. I'm not going to try to figure out why would he tell me such a thing. I'm simply going to relate to you because I understand the office. How do I understand it? Because in 2005, how many years ago was that? In 2005, 12 years ago, he ordained me bishop over what was called at the time New Life Pentecostal Church. And seeing the multiple congregations in the future, after 2 years of his convincing, persuading, because I wasn't just taking it, after 2 years of persuading me, you need to let me ordain you bishop. And so therefore, many of you were there. I was ordained bishop over Life Church. Now, let's see, 12 years ago. Now, I know some of you, and I've never made an issue out of it, but you know, some of you refer to me as pastor, different things, and I never, you know, oh, that's okay, don't, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, 12 years has passed now. Now, I didn't say 12 weeks, did I? 12 years. I realize it's a title that shares, you know, the shepherdness and all of that, and it's intimate, and I understand that. I'm going to suggest, no, I will request that from this 12-year marker forward, let's make a little better effort. Okay? Now, you understand, for me, you know me. It's never been about time. It's never been about time. But since recently, a position that I'm taking with Bishop Wright, and then now what I am enjoying in the acknowledged relationship, I will make another request. We have talked about the various titles in Scripture of offices such as bishop, elders, deacons. Deacons are not a term that have been used too much among our associated ranks, but they are real, they're legitimate. Leaders of ministries are deacons. By description, Sister Fisher is a deaconess. Sister Deaconess, would you stand and take a bow? No. Sister Fisher does what she does out of burden and calling. It wouldn't matter to her if you just called her Margaret. Probably. Cletus, on the other hand. No, I'm just kidding. And so, we are, I say we, the Lord is continuing to shape and to mold us in our multi-congregational concept. All right? I want what the Lord wants. I want to be cooperative with however Jesus Christ would lead us. Makes it difficult at times to answer on the outside, what are you guys doing? But typically they don't ask me. They ask you. That's okay. Would you make an expression of thanks to the Lord with me right now?
You talk to the Lord for a minute longer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's critical how we posture ourselves coming into a service. And I'll try to expound on that for a second. If we come in postured in a sense of, well, I'm going to go downstairs and pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and then I'm going to come upstairs and I'll see a few friends and maybe I'll talk and fellowship, and then I'll move into my seat, and then somebody's probably going to take the mic and ask me to pray a little bit more, and then somebody's going to lead us in some worship. We're going to sing some songs that I know or may not know, and then someone's going to ask for some money. And then somebody's going to tell me what's coming up this week. And then I'm going to wait around for someone to finally get that mic so that I can find out whether or not there's going to be a good sermon today. And if I get anything out of it, ministers to me. And then maybe they'll ask me to come to the front. Maybe they'll let me pray in my seat. And then I can start thinking about that point, what I'm going to have for lunch, because I'm really hungry. And that's oftentimes how we can posture ourselves coming into a meeting. But if you've taken note of what's transpired in this room today, and you were postured as such, you're probably still waiting on the sermon. And you've already figured out what you're going to eat. Because what's transpired here from the word go has been ministry. If you thought that Brother Ben Bass just got up here to say bye because I'm going to go to Afghanistan for 4 months, you missed rich, rich ministry. If you weren't postured spiritually to receive what Ben Bass had to say 35 minutes ago, then you probably missed the word that God was wanting to speak to you today. because what he said was revelatory. What he said was impact. It impacted me. But if I'm so busy, and I'm talking to me here as much as I'm talking to anybody in the room, if I'm so busy that I'm postured in such a way as, well, Bishop's on the schedule today, so I'm just going to sit back here and wait until Bishop gets the mic, and then I may or may not pay attention. And let's see, how many text messages do I got? If that's my posture to receive when we come in here, then I miss something, and maybe you know, I can walk away. Lord have mercy if you say this. I didn't mean this to you, but. If I walk away and say, wow, Bishop missed it today. Maybe he didn't miss it. Maybe his word wasn't for me. It was for the person on the other side of the room. And Ben Bass's word was for me today. And Mike Loxamana's word was for somebody else. But because I was only worried about who it was that was the official speaker that day, then I walk away saying, well, I guess God isn't concerned about me because he didn't minister anything to me today. I want my posture to be such that when I'm sitting in the prayer room, you know, my wife mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago, she said, I came into the prayer room, and she said, I walked past Sister Corinne's chair, and I could tell that she was engaged in prayer and was seeking the Lord, and there was a desperation that I sensed in her. She began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and she said, I stopped everything that I was doing, and I laid my hands on her back, and I began to pray with her. I began to agree with her. Ministry began at that exact moment in that gathering that Sunday. And so many times we wait and say, well, you know, I'll connect with somebody in the altar call today. Or maybe if I really feel super inspiration, Superman, Superwoman inspiration, I'll connect with someone in the worship service if the Lord does so lead me. My posture's got to be one from the moment I get out of my, well, it really ought to be from the moment I get out of bed on Sunday morning. Father, what do you have for me today? What's my role today? I don't care who you are in the room. What's my role today? What's my posture to be today? And at what moment are you going to begin to do something in me and through me? That ought to be my posture. I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else because it becomes, we call them traditions. What did Jesus say about traditions? What did he say? They render, what'd you say? They render the word of God of none effect. Scary. You say, how does the tradition render the word of God and make it of none effect in my life? When I say, oh yeah, you know, Brother Johnstone's called on Brother Cool to testify again. Doesn't he understand my roast is only good until 12:30 and then it's going to... I just made the word of God of none effect. That's going to be spoken through this elder in that moment. Oh, yes, Brother Loxamana came again today. Well, yes, they're having to do the obligatory testimony. Because he's a ministering speaker, licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church International. We're a United Pentecostal Church affiliated with the organization. And so we ought to, and it's a respectful thing to do to have him testify. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Loxamana, for sharing that testimony. I've rendered the word of God of none effect. And the word that he spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is no longer of none effect in my life and could have impacted me and been the answer that I needed in that moment for my test and my trial. You understand the need for the proper posture? When I enter into the house of God, I was dealing with a situation at work the other day. I had to go to a meeting at 5 a.m. at 400 Dexter in downtown Seattle. I was not in the greatest of moods when I stepped off the elevator at 5 a.m. into the Juno Therapeutics building. And then to find out that the reason that I was there was because the product I had sold that guy, he had taken the instructions, thrown them in the garbage, drilled my extruded aluminum housing, and decided that he was going to install it his way. And now it's falling out of the ceiling onto people's desks. And he tells me, you need to be on my job site at 5 o'clock in the morning because your product's a piece of junk. I was not in the greatest of moods. And he proceeded to tell me later on that day in a phone conversation, you came on the job site postured in a position of non-culpability, was his exact words. Forgive me for my posture. And I wonder sometimes if that's how the Lord feels about us. Ron, you came in here postured today. What is my posture? I'm not talking about how I sit. I'm talking about how I present myself spiritually before Him. I'm gonna receive everything. If a song sung that really ministers to me, I've got to believe the Holy Ghost cared enough about me to inspire Brother Heiner, Sister Johnstone, Brother Loxamana, whoever it is that's involved and in charge of music that day, that Lord inspired them. This is what I want you to minister today in music. And it ministers just to me. How does it minister to me? Why does it? Because I came postured. God, I need something today. I'm waiting for any word, anything that's spoken. I'm going to grab a hold of it. And I'm going to take it. Because something else may not come by. Now, I rarely go to a restaurant nowadays without ordering an appetizer. And that was the appetizer. Why do restaurants take their best food, put it in the smallest portions, and charge you money for it and make you have to buy it separate from a meal? I don't understand that. That's a side note. Bishop was talking today about spiritual authority and being submitted to spiritual authority. I was remembering, and I've said this to him several times. I think I may even said this from this pulpit or that platform once or twice, but I'm going to repeat it today. I was raised in a traditional situation of pastor, and you know, that can mean a lot of things to somebody. And it kind of became a buzzword a few years ago. People run around the country and, you know, big name preachers, well, who's your pastor? And then they drop some big name preacher's name that maybe they talk to once a year. He's my pastor. And really all they were trying to do was gain credibility for themselves. They weren't really submitted to somebody. If that pastor called them and said, listen, you need to throw all your notes away, you need to pack up your car, and you need to come back home and be in church with me for 9 months, they'd say, you're out of your mind, because how in the world am I going to get paid? That's just reality. And so I was in that meeting in 2005. The sessions of that meeting are still on our website. I just saw them. I was searching for something else the other day and randomly ran across the Vehicle Revival that Bishop Wright taught here for 2 or 3 days and back in 2005. I was living in Oregon at the time. I drove up here to be a part of those. And God began to bring revelation and understanding to me of what it means to be under spiritual authority and to have spiritual authority at work in your life. And so as years progressed, and again, it's hard to believe that was 12 years ago because it only seems like 12 weeks ago, but lots happened, lots transpired, and 12 years have passed. And through those years, Brother Loxamana, things, it would drive me crazy when I would hear somebody refer to somebody else as bishop. They would make the statement, I'm so glad to have my bishop, Brother so-and-so, in service here tonight. And the reason that it upset me was not because they referred to you call anybody bishop you want to call bishop. If you want to call somebody bishop all the time, I don't care. You can rename yourself bishop. You can make your last name bishop. You can go to Brother Bishop's church and call Brother Bishop anytime you want. There's Brother Bishop, the pastor down in Kent. But when you make that declaration spiritually, I've submitted myself to a spiritual authority, it means something. I don't just say so-and-so is my bishop because so-and-so is my bishop. And so it irritated me spiritually, not physically, spiritually. Something welled up inside of me spiritually when I would hear somebody say, oh, you know, I'm glad to have my bishop here tonight, so-and-so. It only irritated me spiritually because I realized Number one, they didn't have any idea what they were talking about. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody at youth camp, and I said, you know, everybody likes to use buzzwords nowadays. Buzzwords come out, you know. There's a new buzzword out there now called decision, and people have T-shirts made to say, I've made a decision, and they wear them when they get baptized. It's a buzzword. It's something cool. So everybody does it now. Everybody has some T-shirts printed up. They have baptism Sunday. They bring a swimming pool in the back of the church, and everybody's decided. It's a buzzword. Well, you know, bishop's a buzzword right now. So people throw it around, you know. So-and-so's my bishop. Glad to have bishop so-and-so. This guy's a bishop. With little or no understanding of what it means when I say so-and-so's my bishop. It was referred to a few minutes ago in the speaking about there are times when things get said by the bishop that don't necessarily fit within my carnal mind. You identify with that? My carnal mind. It doesn't feel good in my carnality. Because I talked a few Sundays ago, we all have a sin nature that's at work in us. It doesn't always feel good. But when I make a declaration that I belong to, you know, man, I've been reading in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, and 3. And Paul is just ripping the Corinthian church a new one. He's saying, you're immature, you're like babies, and I can't feed you anything but spiritual milk. I can't give you any food. And the reason you're doing that is because some of you are running around saying, well, I'm with Brother Apollos. And others of you are running around saying, well, I'm with Brother Paul. And you've associated yourselves with ministers, and you've made yourself allegiant to ministers, and you're placing more importance on one than the other. And who are you to do that? Because Apollos, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so you have to come, what he's basically saying at some point is, you have to come to a realization that I'm submitted to a spiritual authority in my life. I'm giving somebody spiritual oversight over my life. And it's not about who baptized me or who didn't baptize me, who was there the night I was filled with the Holy Ghost and whose hands were or were not on my head. Who's your spiritual oversight? Who has the ability to speak into your life? Who has the ability to say something to you that maybe is not comfortable to your carnal mind? It doesn't feel right to your carnal mind, but when I get in the spirit and begin to pray about it, it begins to make more sense and I get more peace about it. That's what a bishop is. And so I get so irritated. Of course, my bishop would always talk me off the ledge. It's okay. You just have to deal. But they can't do that. Yeah, anybody can say anything they want. If I'm going to declare something, I don't care what it is. If you want to stand up here and hold the microphone and say chocolate cake's better than vanilla cake, by God, you better have something to pass it up. If you like apple pie better than cherry pie, then you better have a good argument as to why apple pie is better than cherry pie. And if you like Fords over Chevys, you better have a good reason. Jaden's in the house. I love messing with people who are like, oh yeah, Ford's better than Chevy. You'll tell me why. Well, because I'd rather push a Ford than drive a Chevy. That's nonsense. Have some facts. Hey, they have a 2.7 liter EcoBoost that's pushing 330 horsepower with two twin turbos. It can tow 9,000 pounds. Push Chevys all over. That's the kind of discussion I want to enter into. Don't just say, oh, so-and-so's my pastor. So-and-so's my bishop. Oh, really? When's the last time they told you to do something? Well, I don't really need that, you know. I just need somebody looking out for me in case I get in trouble. Do you understand the difference? There's a scripture that says that we need to, and I'm going to misquote it, so please forgive me. It's having an answer for the hope that lies within us. Can you explain what you believe? Do you have the ability to articulate by the power of the Holy Ghost what you believe? You know, he joked around people on the outside, ask questions about. And he's right, they don't ask him, they ask me. And the first couple of times that happened, boy, I stumbled and fumbled, and because I wasn't really sure I wasn't really sure I knew what. I mean, I knew. But there's a whole different level of knowing when somebody asks you the difference between a Ford and a Chevy. Them Ford and their aluminum pop can bodies that just dent if you touch them, you know? You got to know. In my book, anything American made is okay. But this, you got to know. You have to know. If you're going to make a declaration about something, believe it, understand it. If I'm going to declare that something is such and such, then I got to know that something, and I got to understand why. And so, I'm appreciative today. You know, I said this to him the day I was sitting in my office. The day that he texted me, he said, Bishop Wright's going to be here this day, this day, this day, and this day. And I told him, I said, the minute you said that, it was like a weight lifted off of me. Because I knew what he was saying by saying those things. He was saying, listen, because he also said, and he's going to meet with you on Saturday night. That relieved me. You say, oh my goodness, didn't that put all kinds of pressure on you? Nope. Because you know what my mindset was? Whatever he said to do, I was going to do. I didn't care. There was a good chance, it didn't happen, there was a good chance Bishop Wright was going to sit down and he was going to read me the Riot Act. And he was going to tell me I need to straighten up, I need to change my attitude. I told you a couple Wednesday nights ago what he said, if you were here. Remember he said, are you dead yet? Remember that conversation? That was the same meeting. I was willing to do whatever he said. It was a weight lifted off. You know, my kids don't like to do what they're told. And if your kids do, please, I'm going to have my kids come up from Super Summer Blast. You can lay your hands on him. You can pray for them before they leave. And maybe the spirit of your household will get on my kids. But they're kids. Kids don't like to be told. They don't want to go to bed at 8 o'clock. They'd rather go to bed whenever they fall asleep on the floor, drunk on Skittles. That's kids. And kids want to run the house, and they want to watch movies 24 hours a day, even though you limit them to 30 minutes. They'd watch movies for 24 hours because they're kids. We just got done with youth camp, and there were a few 12-year-olds that got sick to the point of vomiting because for the first time in their life, they got to eat as much junk food as they wanted, and they realized that your body can't put up with that. But you know what I've learned? My kids appreciate authority. My kids appreciate when dad steps in and says, no, you're going to bed. Oh, they fight it for a minute. I'm not tired. I don't want to go to bed. I appreciate it. You show me kids that don't have any authority in their life, I'll show you kids that are unhappy. Because all of us deep down inside understand, I want some oversight. I appreciate having somebody to call when there's a problem and I don't know what to do. I appreciate being able to pick up the phone and say, I don't necessarily need an answer from you. I just need to talk about this for a minute. And sometimes just talking about it, I start realizing how stupid I sound. And I'm just going to hang up. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate you listening. I got my answer. Bye-bye. Ever been there? But having that, being able to have somebody to talk to. I'm not an island. I don't have all the answers. And I appreciate spiritual oversight in my life. Do you realize the web of safety that's woven here? Do you understand that? Sometimes people can maybe say, I haven't seen the bishop in a couple weeks. We've been stuck with that Heiner and John Stone and Kendrick guy speaking. And then I get a text from the bishop. That was good ministry, Brother Heiner, on Wednesday night. He's listening. And there's a safety in that knowing that if somebody gets a little bit south, that's not going to be a text of, hey, that's good ministry on Wednesday night. It's going to be a, hey, can I talk to you on Saturday night when I get into town? There's safety in that. I appreciate that. People have oftentimes asked me, friends of mine, I spent time with one this week I went to Bible school with. He asked me, he said, why, what do you and why and all these questions. And I said, you know, there's a peace as a young minister. I don't know that anybody understands the weight that gets put on somebody when they say, hey, we want you to be a congregational leader. Hey, how about you take the responsibility for A, B, C, D, and E, F, and G? How about we make you the youth leader? Oh, thank you. How about we put you over the children's ministry? Oh, thank you. Thanks for that extra pressure. Thanks for all that extra stress. You're going to put the livelihood and the future generations of Life Church on my shoulder. Thank you for that. When all the kids are, you know, up here running the aisles and everybody's getting the Holy Ghost, everybody's like, man, that youth pastor's doing a good job. When none of the kids are in church on Sunday, all the parents look at the youth leader. What'd you say on Thursday night? All the pressure. But there's a peace in knowing that there's a safety net in place. And I don't have to worry about getting out of line, because if I get out of line, there's somebody there who's going to help me get back in line. I appreciate that. There's a relief in that. There's a liberty that allows me to minister and be free in ministry and allow a free flow with the Spirit of God. Operate in the giftings that God has given me. And know that if I get out of line in my gifting, somebody's going to help me get back in line. You see, if I don't have any oversight, that's where situations go south fast. Somebody starts doing something. Nobody's there to say, hey, think about what you said on Sunday. Maybe you should reconsider. Go read that verse again. You talk to the Lord with me right now. Thank you, Jesus, for the working of your Spirit among us. I thank you for your oversight, Father. It is your Spirit that leads and guides us. It is your Spirit, Father, who has brought us together. You have assembled us together, Father. This is not the work of men, but it is the work of your Spirit. And we trust your Spirit. We trust your oversight, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You see, that's the beauty of spiritual oversight, spiritual authority. You realize we don't operate in governmental authority around here. We don't. We operate in spiritual authority. What Bishop was talking about earlier when he was talking about the heavens being opened up in glory, that's spiritual authority. We operate in spiritual authority around here. You say, how so? Well, Brother Wright came out here, sat down and talked to each of us. But there were things that he said to the bishop that were things that had already been put in place. Things that were already in motion. Things that had already been communicated between the leadership of Life Church. He didn't know anything about. That's spiritual authority.
when we go into these meetings, we walk into meetings and somebody brings something up and somebody else says, you know what, I've been praying about that. The Lord spoke that to me a couple weeks ago. That's spiritual authority. That's not somebody coming in saying, bless God, I'm the bishop here. Bless God, I'm the pastor here. And whatever I say, you're going to do. Now, here's a gag for your mouth. Listen to me the rest of the meeting. No, there's a witness. Spirit, when there's spiritual authority in operation, there's a witness among all who are present about the direction and the leading. Yes, somebody's got to be the spiritual authority. Somebody's got to be the final stop. Somebody's got to take the responsibility. When there's a witness among all, this is what the Lord is doing. I get excited. And I can't wait until somebody gets up and announces that October 8th meeting. I can't wait. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost brought that meeting about. And somebody said, hey, I think we ought to. And we said, yes, we've been praying about that. And it's time for all of us to get together. That makes me excited about that meeting. Somebody didn't come in and say, you know what? We haven't had a multi-congregation meeting in 6 years. And so it's time to have another one. And you just need to figure it out. Okay, we'll have another one. Oh, I'm sure it'd be a good meeting. But when the Lord orchestrates something, I get excited because now I know he's going to show up. His hand's going to be on the meeting. His flow's going to be on the meeting. I can't wait. I got to circle on the calendar. Because God's in it. It's his leading. Spiritual oversight. Spiritual authority at work. I hope somehow through all this you see the difference. And more than that, I hope you experience the difference. Amen. Let's stand together today. If you can, we're going to leave here and go over to that park that's on the corner over here, Grayland Park. If you can join us, that'd be great. You pray for the food before we go? Remember that?
Here, just sit for a second. The meeting that we're having on October the 8th, we're calling Life Church United. We will be busing over a group from Selah. The congregation from Kent is invited, of course, and some will be here. And we'll probably have to keep people up on the platform because we'll need every seat in here. Just giving you a little heads up, there will be a fellowship afterwards. Please put that on your calendar, would you? October the 8th. I have confirmed actually this morning with Brother Charles Simpson from Baltimore, Maryland. He will be the speaker, and I'm excited. There's a refreshing in the Holy Ghost here today, isn't there? There's no trade-off to the refreshing and the witness of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is one of those days where we don't need to have an altar call. Everything received. Let's stand. Let's pray for the food in the picnic.